The Brant and Sherry Oddcast, sponsored by Fellowship Home Loans. To find out more about the radio show or to order Brant's book, Blessed Are the Misfits, go to BrantHanson.com.
It is time for Brant's three things, three hopefully helpful things, by the way, trying to share. And today it's three great ideas how to act like a for real grown-up. Three really good ideas. This is for all of us, me
okay.
too.
Okay, yeah.
Right? Number one, an obvious one, try to keep the selfies, I don't know, one every couple months is all right,
yeah.
I think. After that, we're starting to wonder what's going on. We really are. I mean, right?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know what the right ratio is. Maybe it's one a week. I have no idea. But if it's just a constant flow of selfies, just know that it may come off not as you intended.
Yeah.
Okay, is that fair?
That is very
fair. Sound judgmental? I hope it doesn't. Does it?
I don't think it does if you have 70 selfies on your timeline.
I suppose that's true.
But it's worth saying. It's what you said before, I think, on a podcast, where it's an indicator light.
Like an indicator light.
Yes, it's a light coming on and say,
Right.
You might want to check something out here. Yeah, that's fair.
All right, that's fair. That's all I'm trying to say. So there's no rule about that. You can put up as many selfies as you want.
Sure.
So I'm sorry.
I think this is the first time we've had a Brant's Three Things apology.
Yeah. Hey, I'm sorry. I don't mean it that way. You can do as many as you want. Maybe it's on us to just go, well, that's just her or him, and we love you. So that's good. This has been Brant's Three Things. And the first one
so
was a foul ball.
Yes, been retracted.
It has been retracted, and we'll start over. Oh, this is very interesting here. I have information about how to defend your home against burglars.
Okay.
It says here where they check first when they're looking for stuff.
Yeah.
So here's one thing you can do. Don't put your stuff in these places. But the first place they go actually is a bedroom dresser. They look there.
Okay.
That's going to be disappointing.
Sure.
For them. second is a bedside table.
Ah, okay.
They will.
Yes, that they will rummage through
rummage
that.
Rummage through my C.S. Lewis stuff. Three, they look in shoe boxes in the closet. Where they're, I would guess, most likely to find
shoes. Sure.
Then they look under the mattress. And then they look in the kitchen freezer. I don't understand that at all.
Are all these burglars from 1950?
Exactly.
We have safes now,
guys. You're not going to find our computers in the freezer or under the mattress. And then they look in the refrigerator. I don't know. Are they looking for steaks? I don't understand. I seriously don't. That is literally the list. Like
it is.
Yeah.
These burglars, they don't deserve anything.
What are you trying to burgle, you guys? Okay, Brant's three things. The first part of the three things didn't go so good, so ignore that. Brant's three other things.
We're going to dive right in here.
Right,
yes.
Okay. These are supposed to be three great ideas. First one wasn't so good for how to act like a for real grown-up.
Okay.
All right, so how about this? Here's a very grown-up thing to do. Mm-hmm. Support a cause silently.
Mm-hmm.
That's a very grown-up thing to do.
It is.
It's hard, even, you know, for adults. Mm-hmm. It's in this culture, it's just everything has to be a, I need you to know that how I need credit for this.
Yeah.
So it might be giving some organization and not telling everybody about it.
Mm-hmm.
I certainly do that. People know.
Mm-hmm.
So I just think it's a very grown-up, secure thing to do is to support something and not tell everybody. This really is something right here, this idea. That kind of shows real maturity. Like, I am an adult.
Mm-hmm.
Do something nice for your parents. Seriously.
Yeah.
Like, you weren't asked, wasn't a big deal, but you just do something nice. That really is a turning point of maturity.
Yes, it is, because you're not expecting everything from them.
Right.
Yeah.
Just because I'm a human, you're humans,
mm-hmm.
appreciate what you've gone through, or something, but you do something nice. Mm-hmm. Instead of relating to them as, I'm the recipient.
Right.
I am the focus of all your efforts, not the other way around. Like, right. something adult has happened when you start thinking that way, I promise you. And here is the last one. I think the other ones have been pretty solid too, mm-hmm. but except for the first one. But here's the last one, and that is this. Root for someone else in your own field.
Mm-hmm.
really root for him. That is such an adult thing. It's so unnatural. We're all about feeling threatened. But you get to the point where you're secure enough. Like, you'd like to be the best at this, but they also are doing it too, and I'm rooting for them.
Mm-hmm.
That's hard. But wow, what an adult thing. And here's Jesus telling us to pray for our enemies even. Like, if you can pray for a rival, pray for somebody for good, for blessings on them, you have almost arrived as a mature person. So thankful for everybody who listens to our podcast. Also, the guys at Fellowship Home Loans, they help people. They come up with creative ideas to help you with your mortgage or your refinancing. They listen. They enjoy their customers. I just really appreciate them. Mike and Brian are the guys at Fellowship Home Loans. They're fantastic. If you want to talk to them, you can. It's 800-804-SAVE for Fellowship Home Loans. We so appreciate them sponsoring the podcast and believing in what we do. 800-804-SAVE or, so simple, fellowshiphomeloans.com. Okay, this is dangerous to talk about.
Good.
Because I could be accused. No, I'm not going to tell you what I can be accused of. This just gives you ideas.
I'm not going to give you an accusation to lob at me.
A little menu of accusations you can hurl.
Multiple choice.
Here's the things you're going to want to say. You pick one and then throw it at me. No, I mean, this is dangerous, but I've been learning about this. I think it's fascinating, and I know I'm not an expert, okay? So mm-hmm. I'm just distilling, just like with anything else. We all just pass along what we were learning.
Mm-hmm.
This is about God in the Old Testament and the New Testament, but I've just been studying this. Maybe you already know all about this, but I didn't realize the reality of rival gods being mm-hmm. spiritual beings
mm-hmm.
because I guess I always thought those were idols, like they're just an empty piece of wood or something. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's what God was up against. And these people were faking it. Like mm-hmm. They believed in this God, but they're all putting their faith in a stone or a statue mm-hmm. and there's nothing there.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not the way the Bible describes it. And what's really wild, and you can look this up in Deuteronomy, there's several places in Deuteronomy this is mentioned, where it harkens back to a time when God basically disinherited the nations and broke up languages and assigned each nation its own God,
mm-hmm.
according to the number of sons of God, it says. It's mm-hmm. very weird. Like, there was an allotment
mm-hmm.
according to the number of sons of God. It's using the word Elohim,
mm-hmm.
which means like any sort of spiritual being.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'd never thought about that. Allotting, so to all these nations that have been listed, like in Genesis 10, for instance,
mm-hmm.
there's just dozens and dozens of them, like 70, mm-hmm. something like that. But each one gets its own God,
mm-hmm.
and he's assigning a spiritual being.
Mm-hmm.
He's so frustrated with the way humans are acting.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they were supposed to go forth, or they're supposed to multiply,
mm-hmm.
and his kingdom is like Eden everywhere, and then spread out over all the earth,
mm-hmm.
but they weren't doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is just my rudimentary understanding, but he allots all these nations their own gods.
Mm-hmm.
They're supposed to serve him, but these are spiritual beings that have free will.
Mm-hmm.
But each nation has a God that's been allotted to it.
Mm-hmm.
And right after the Tower of Babel, which is what we're talking about, which, by the way, this story about the Tower of Babel is played out in so many different religions, so many different geographical places all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody has this kind of inherited, even Mexico, like inherited memory of a giant tower
yeah.
with some incident like this happening. It's mm-hmm. really wild.
Mm-hmm.
But he breaks it up, and then right after that, he says, but I'm going to have my portion.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to have my own allotment.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when he chooses Abraham, mm-hmm. which is really wild to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just throwing this out as something to chew on or think about. I haven't heard any scholars talking about this, but there's a concept called the axial age in historian speak or whatever, they'll say that there's this kind of spiritual awakening that happens simultaneously, essentially in the same few centuries around the world.
Mm-hmm.
So it's Buddha, mm-hmm. it's Confucius, it's Zoroastrianism,
mm-hmm.
it's on down the line, just all these ideas, Plato even, like within the same kind of framework.
Okay.
And it's just interesting to me that this is at the same time we're talking about here as well.
Yeah.
And I don't, maybe it's too dangerous to even talk about, but I just think it's interesting. Mm-hmm. So humans are very spiritual. Mm-hmm. But according to the Old Testament, according to Genesis and then Deuteronomy, again, it's several places in Deuteronomy, talked about this divine council or these beings that ultimately turn against God. Mm-hmm. And they turn against Israel, and but he's picked these people mm-hmm. to still work his plan out. Mm-hmm. He's going to work his plan out among all these fake gods, but they're real. They're real spiritual beings. So to me, it was, maybe this is rudimentary to some people, mm-hmm. but to me, it livened up my prayer life, being aware of this, like to be able to say to God, you are the only real thing. Like those yeah. other gods are fake. Mm-hmm. Destroy them, please.
Yeah. Yep.
And also to appreciate how remarkable the God of Israel is. Mm-hmm. He's distinct. There's no one like him. And again, to this day, there's villages you can go to or areas where they still have names. They know their gods by name, mm-hmm. but they're vicious and they're deceptive, and they like death. They like to bring death in.
Well, that all makes sense to me.
Doesn't it, though?
It does, especially in Ephesians when he talks about you're not even warring against flesh and blood.
Right.
You're warring against principalities and spiritual wickedness in high places.
Yeah,
and
principalities. Yeah. Like
he uses, yes, he uses governmental language to yes. say these things are set up and that's the actual war. So that makes sense to me.
That's, yeah, and doesn't that help the prayer life too?
It does.
I want to look up something too and read it to you just because it jumps out at me too. It's in Psalms. It's in Psalm 82. Mm-hmm. And it's talking about this assembly of gods. Mm-hmm. It says, I'm reading here, it says New International Version. It says, God presides in the great assembly. He renders judgment among the gods. Mm-hmm. So it just establishes he's better and bigger. He's the one that will judge these other gods. Mm-hmm. How long will you defend the unjust? This is his judgment against these other gods.
Yeah.
How long will you defend the unjust and show partiality to the wicked? Mm-hmm. Defend the weak and the fatherless. Uphold the cause of the poor and oppressed. Rescue the weak and the needy. Deliver them from the hand of the wicked. And then the psalmist is writing, the gods know nothing. They understand nothing. They walk about in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are shaken. Mm. I said, you are gods. You are all sons of the Most High. But this is because of his frustration with their rebellion. Mm-hmm. Catch this, because they're made to be immortal. Mm-hmm. Men are mortal. Yeah, we die.
Right.
I said, you are gods. You are all sons of the Most High, but you will die mm-hmm. like mere mortals. You will fall like every other ruler. Mm. And it concludes. It's just 8 verses, this whole psalm. Rise up, O God, judge the earth, for all the nations are your inheritance.
Yeah.
It's so wild.
That is.
So they're going to die because of their rebellion. And mm-hmm. it's speaking like, I think people say that eschatologically, like speaking of the end, like mm-hmm. now you're not going to be who you're supposed to be. Mm-hmm. But they also are created by God mm-hmm. and reflect his image.
Yeah.
But they're going to be thrown away. Mm-hmm. They're useless. And he calls them out for their evil. And if you believe the biblical story, and this is confirmed again, as you start to read the New Testament through that lens,
yeah.
their understanding of this, like, it's a very real thing that we're dealing with. I don't know what the names of these gods are. Mm-hmm. I don't know, but they do seem to favor death. As I've traveled the world, it does seem the underlying thing is that they're all trying to make death look good. Mm-hmm. That's their weapon. Mm-hmm. And so Jesus takes that weapon mm-hmm. and turns it on its head and uses it against them.
Well, that's the revelation of the great mystery, right? So there's all these gods, and then there's God and his portion.
Uh-huh.
But what's coming is Jesus will come and redeem it all.
Yes.
And everyone gets to come back to God, and everyone is his portion.
Right. For the nations are your inheritance.
Yeah,
so we
right.
get to be grafted into
this
inheritance.
That's right.
So again, that's helped me pray too.
Yeah.
Because now I'm not just trying to come up with a list of things to ask, but mm-hmm. I'm genuinely like, blown away that you love us, that you made this, you like, you're the real one.
Mm-hmm.
Please destroy the stuff that's so death oriented, or just introduce little deaths into our lives.
Yeah.
And there's trying, and you can see it in our culture where this all leads.
Yeah, like, you see it in our culture too.
Yes.
It may not be physical death because we're terrified of that.
Oh, absolutely.
But there's just death of the death is still the thing.
It's still the objective. Now, I would say that it still embraces, we still embrace physical death.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's, like we've had a suicide movement where it's like, no, hey, it's all good. There's
good
nothing
point.
Better.
Yeah,
like all
yeah,
that's like,
yeah. yeah.
Like all
yeah.
the things true. That lead to
very
death.
Very true. Very true.
All the diseases that we didn't have to opt in. Well, no, yeah. don't worry about it. No,
yeah.
it's just like the suicide
true.
Where that's been normalized and stuff. Like, why are we so pro-death?
Normalized and applauded in
yes.
some ways.
Yes, in Western yeah. culture, not the America, just Western cultures.
Yeah.
Like we, but in other countries too, there's this thing where it's different gods,
mm-hmm.
but it's manifested a different way. But there's still this death impulse.
Mm-hmm.
Where he's cheering on death,
mm-hmm.
the god of this era, mm-hmm. this place. And it's different ones. Well, this can all sound completely loopy to some people.
No, but that's because I grew up. This is all right down my alley, buddy.
Well, I guess I'm right.
But yes,
I know it is.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying, and I think it's worth talking about and at least thinking about.
At least I think it's explanatory of human behavior. That's
yeah.
the thing too. Like
yeah.
as somebody who's skeptical by nature, I'm putting myself in the skeptic's role,
mm-hmm.
who's not a believer listening to this and kind of, oh, okay, you kind of jumped the shark there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all right. But this, it sure looks like the way the world actually works, doesn't
mm-hmm.
it? I mean, all these things. And we even celebrate death in so many ways.
Mm-hmm.
I could go on and on about the different ways we do it,
mm-hmm.
but there's something to, anyway, something to think about.
That's good.
Yeah, thanks. Trent, what's the upshot here?
Well, the prayer that
prayer.
You felt
yeah.
like you, please don't dismantle everything you just did.
No. So anyway, go out and have a heck of a day.
You guys go out and make it a great day.
Not just a good day. I'm arguing here. What I'm arguing for here is a Golden Grahams day. It's going to be a Golden Grahams day.
Yeah.
That's my opinion.
If you let it.
If you let it. But that's, you know, up to you. So.
This has been the Brant and Sherry Oddcast, sponsored by Fellowship Home Loans. To find out more about the radio show or to order Brant's book, Blessed Are the Misfits, go to BrantHanson.com.